Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up this week. I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Velvet Thunder.
Yes.
It's a morning show, and I've lost my voice, and this is what it sounds like when that happens. So
it's lost voice combined with morning voice.
it does this. So anyway, I figured I'd make a Brooklyn Nine-Nine joke. All right. First off, this morning, Comcast has outbid Disney for 21st Century Fox. Comcast put in a bid of $65 billion, which beats Disney's $52.4 billion bid, and Comcast volunteered to reimburse Fox for the $1.52 billion penalty they agreed to for backing out of the deal with Disney. Fox hasn't officially decided they're going to go with Comcast over Disney, and I assume that Disney will have an opportunity to outbid Comcast, which they can.
Which, please, like, don't get us wrong. Like, we talked a lot about the dangers of one giant media conglomerate absorbing another giant media conglomerate. But on at least Disney's evil is hidden. Comcast is just evil.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They are one of the worst companies ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that's the good thing you can say about Charter here in Cape is at least it's not Comcast.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, whenever I hear horror stories of, like, other people on the internet talking about their dealings with Comcast, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, my God. Charter, apparently saints. As awful as they are saints. Because it could be so much worse. Mm-hmm. Like, there for a long time. I don't know if they're still doing it. Unless you pay, like, a boatload of money. Comcast puts data limits on your internet. Like, the same as you would with a phone provider.
Plan. Yeah.
Like, their Comcast plans, like, the cheaper Comcast plans that are comparable to the cheaper Charter plans have, like, 10 and 20 gigabyte limits. Which is just baffling to me.
Yeah, no, that's how do you even do that?
Because they have no competition.
I mean, I know how I know how they do it. Like, it's very clear how they do it. It's why, other than just, you know, unmitigated greed.
Yep. I mean, yeah, that's what happens when you allow a monopoly to get set up. Mm-hmm. Like, they can do literally whatever they want because your alternatives is Verizon and AT&T cellular internet, which you can't play games with.
Right.
Because it just doesn't work. That's Comcast could be buying Disney, or it could be buying 21st Century Fox. And if hopefully at least Disney can just go ahead and say throw some of that cash at Comcast to pull the Marvel properties back. But I know Comcast, and I know that won't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're going to be like, oh no, we got what you wanted. Now you have to buy the whole thing if you want it.
Yeah, no, they're going to turn it around for a clean profit, or they're just going to, you know, run it into the ground because they don't really want it. They just want to screw over Disney. Speaking of Disney, though, Avengers Infinity War Domestic has officially passed Justice League's worldwide total for the box office. Which, not really all that newsworthy, but is funny to me. It's also passed Titanic. Even counting for inflation, which I think that's the first movie to do that, isn't it?
That I don't know.
Because I know Titanic, counting for inflation, has been on top of the list for a really long time.
My initial reaction to reading that headline, though, was, suck it, Cameron. Where's your Avengers fatigue now?
Yeah, because he is the one like, oh yeah, it's coming. People aren't going to be interested in this for that long.
No, he said, I hope it happens.
Oh, okay.
He actually wants it to happen.
Well, I know he wants it to happen.
Because he wants it to happen, so he'll have less competition for Avatar 12. Because he's making a million of those movies.
Yeah.
But eventually. Boy, I really hope people get sick of this type of movie.
Because there's just too much Marvel.
It's too early in the morning for me to have a strong filter. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's fair. All right. Speaking of DCEU stuff, we got a first look at the Black Manta helmet, which
I think that's the actor who plays him too.
Yeah, but we knew the actor, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, like it wasn't like he was in costume or anything.
Yeah,
the big deal was seeing the helmet in front of him, and
I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, it looks like it almost certainly will look better in action.
Yeah.
But yeah, sitting there on the table in front of him, it looked like a really cheap movie prop. It looked like budget television style. Like, I actually thought this was for the Freeform show, or not Freeform. The DC streaming service. Yeah. The DCU streaming service. But yeah, no, it's for the movie. And I was really? That's what that. Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I have to hold judgment until I see it in movement, but, or in the actual film, because I know there's a lot of editing stuff they can do. And I mean, there's just a lot of stuff they can do, but yeah, it did not look good. All right, we got more DC news. We got the Joker origin movie, which may or may not be a part of the DCEU. We still don't know. It's the Scorsese movie. Will likely start filming in September in New York City. Somehow that information leaked. So that's not even a remote definite or definitive thing. It's just, that's a distinct possibility that it could start as early as September, which blows my mind because they are also trying to work on so many other movies, including the other Joker movie starring Jared Leto, which just DC,
yeah,
please.
I
get it
together. Of the two Joker movies we're supposedly getting, I'm more interested in this one.
Absolutely.
Just because it's a standalone.
Except that they're still throwing Joaquin Phoenix's name around for it.
Fine with it.
I just, yeah.
Dude might be a scumbag, but like.
That's the problem I have with it. I don't necessarily think that he'll be a bad joke or anything. I just don't like him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
I like him in movies, so yeah, I'm going to be cool with it.
It's that thing where it's just like it's getting harder and harder to separate like art from artists for me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like being general debaggery is easier for me to overlook than like other things that people have been accused of or have come out about like having done. Because I don't think there was anything like outrageously Phoenix did.
No, he just did that really debaggery like performance art for a year where he was like doing a hip hop art.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're just like, all right, you're kind of being a jerk.
I mean, he's done more than that too.
Oh, but yeah, yeah. No, there's like there's been other things, but it's always just kind of been like,
you're a bad person.
Yeah. It's like, oh, so you worked with, you know, Joaquin Phoenix. What was that? Like, hey, he's kind of a. And that's.
Yeah.
It's just kind of that. It hasn't been to the level of like, yeah, so Jared Leto got in character and sent his coworkers used condoms and just weird, gross 14-year-old edgelord BS.
Yeah, he's just a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, versus Leto is kind of a disgusting jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other people that are outright awful people. But yeah.
Horrible like, human beings.
Yeah. That have abused their power, and we're not going to get into that on this show. All right. Geoff Johns and more, an actual good DCEU news. Something I am actually excited about. Geoff Johns is looking to write and produce a Green Lantern Corps movie.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I absolutely, wholeheartedly, with everything I have, trust Geoff Johns with Green Lantern.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if he's stepping down from...
DC.
From DC as a comics. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the chief creative officer. He stepped down. Jim Lee took his place officially now.
Everything's about to look real pretty. So pretty.
That doesn't mean Jim Lee's doing all of the art for DC. You know that, right?
It just means he's going to be like, draw it like me.
But he won't.
No.
No, he won't do that at all.
He needs
you
to.
You don't understand
so
things.
He doesn't.
But yeah, no, Geoff Johns is like, that's a Green Lantern movie I would be excited for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, if that's as much of a mess as the DCEU is right now, I feel like if there is someone who can fill that kind of, because they need someone like Kevin Feige that Marvel has. Because you have one guy kind of collaborating with all of these other creators and being like, okay, but this is the one. These are the rules you have to adhere to. Here are the limitations you have to work within. Get on board or get out.
Right.
If Geoff Johns is that person for DC, as bad as things are now, that could really turn things around.
Absolutely.
Like, assuming people aren't completely, you know, burnt out on superhero movies, and then like if they see, oh, there's another DC thing, we've given three movies now a chance. Nah.
Yeah, and that's a distinct. Well, also though, like you have to think, despite our feelings, those movies are still making money. Not as much as Marvel.
No.
Clearly, by any stretch.
But they're not losing money. That's right. The important
and especially
aspect.
Like Suicide Squad made a boatload of money, and that
and
movie
won an
was,
Oscar
and best and won awards.
Oh my god! Not any for like story or anything, costume design.
And I also feel like it's the people, the people at me are like, oh, that's so stupid. I'm gonna like oh no, it's so dumb. I'm not gonna be able to see that in theaters. Well, I mean, I need to go see it at theaters though, because like, what if it is good? But what if they treat me right this time? That's a terrible analogy to make. I apologize for that.
That's fine. It's kind of accurate. Like
we got the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, they eventually like because we love DC, so eventually they'll treat us well.
It's that gambler's fallacy.
Uh huh.
Just like
just keep playing.
Surely one of these is gonna be great.
There's as many darts as they're throwing at the wall. One of them is gonna stick.
Look at the Nolan trilogy. They can do it well. This will be that one.
And
this
also,
will be that one.
I have to think that Geoff Johns is the one guy from DC that Warner Brothers, like as uppity as they are, aren't going to get in his face about. Like, no, you need to change this to this.
Boy, I would also like to think that.
I would. Yeah. No, like I said, like to think. But I don't believe that, because I absolutely believe that Geoff Johns would hold his ground and say, like, no. I've been doing this much longer than you.
Right.
It's that Parks and Rec whenever Ron Swanson's at the hardware store. I know more than you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Got a project you need help with? I know more than you do. Like, yep, okay.
Well, all right. And hopefully that's how that goes.
I need someone
to throw the comic books at him. Just Rebirth, Flashpoint, Brightest Day, Darkest Night, all of those. Just keep throwing them at the people. I know really more, just... no more, no more.
I want to just be like, name another one. Give me one more. You were pulling. No, I do need someone to make that GIF, though, of that Parks and Rec clip, but just WB, like the Warner Brothers logo, and then just cut out of Geoff Johns over Ron Swanson.
Internet, get on it.
Do it.
I need this to happen. Because, yeah, like that's, but more than likely what will end up happening is Warner Brothers will just toss Geoff Johns if he's not going to go to.
If he's not going
to
play ball.
If he's not going to play ball, which their ball game is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that it's stupid, but they don't understand why.
The year is 2018. Brian Michael Bendis goes to D.C. Geoff Johns, after being driven out of D.C., lands at Marvel.
He's going to be really upset that he has to like Wolverine again.
Don't say that word to me. I'm done with Wolverine. Like, it's finally happened.
But
it finally flipped. I was I loved Wolverine. It was a super cool character. Yeah, maybe there is some oversaturation issues, but it's not that bad.
We'll
and
get
then
there.
This week happened.
What if Geoff Johns starts writing Wolverine?
I don't care. It'll be good. And I'll probably buy it. But I won't care. Until like the end of the first issue, and then all of a sudden I care now. It's like,
because that's how that works. And it really is. That's not a bit. all right. So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. You can stop there for all of your comic book needs and other comic book adjacent paraphernalia, as well as delicious, delicious coffee, which I desperately need right now. Dave, Mary Jo. Use your superpowers.
Use time travel, because that's how this is going to work. Like I like to think that somewhere David is just like, his ears are perking up like, someone is in need of caffeine. Like, he just knows.
Then he just pops
he finally,
up.
He finally listens to this, and all of a sudden just like, it just appears out of nowhere.
That would be amazing.
Drink of the week.
So yeah, Tom King is teaming up with Clay Mann for a new 7-part series, Heroes in Crisis. And the idea behind this story is superheroes dealing with the trauma of dealing with so much violence in mm-hmm. their everyday lives. And it's supposed to be Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman handling this trauma while they're dealing with a murder mystery. And they're going to...
It's because there's a location called Sanctuary, and someone was murdered in Sanctuary. And so Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman are having to investigate that murder within that.
Oh, yeah.
Within that place.
Place is supposed to be... did it get created by the that trio, or is it being improved upon by them?
I don't think they have anything to do with it.
Because they're supposed to be doing something with... They're supposed to be combining Kryptonian tech, Amazonian mysticism, mm-hmm. and Batman's cash to make make a trauma center effectively for superheroes.
They may have been the founders of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't read that part because they haven't given a whole lot of detail on it.
Right.
So I mean, it wouldn't be surprising. But I know like it's because it's and then it's also the two prime suspects are Harley Quinn and Booster Gold.
Hmm. I didn't see that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the part that I read was basically it just sounded like they created the sanctuary for heroes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a murder mystery going on in there while they're trying to perfect the system.
Because mm-hmm. I saw less about them trying to perfect it and more it's like they have to go there to investigate this crime that happened.
Gotcha. Either way, it sounds neat. And I mean, it's Tom King. Mm-hmm. If he can make me love a book about a double date between Batman and Catwoman and Superman and Lois Lane, I'll read this.
Kite Man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't... It's the same, like, PTSD stories are not, I don't particularly enjoy them, just because I have had interactions with, like, PTSD, like, not myself, but people right. around me. So it's like, when I see those kind of stories, like, used as kind of like a, not a crutch, but like a trope almost, it kind of bums me out. So it's like, when I saw that was the, it's like, okay, that could be neat if it's done well, but a lot of the times it's not done well.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
We'll so, but anyway, like, it is Tom King. Like, I will probably pick this up, but it's just that thing where it's like, I get you're going for a story, and I want to be into it, but,
yeah.
But that's just a personal thing,
right? And it's one of those things, like, it. Yeah, you're absolutely right that it could be awful because a lot of times they do not handle PTSD well at all.
Because like Jessica Jones killed it.
Oh yeah.
Like that. That is hands down the best representation of it that I've seen in media, and like. It's not that it was bad. It was just like I had just finished Jessica Jones season 2, so trying to watch the second season of Stranger Things, that was just like, okay, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, that's like it's a hard transition.
It's too much. Like at this, but like it was like maybe if I go back, because I never like I only got like 2 episodes into the second season because that seemed like it was such a heavy part of it, and I was just like, maybe I'm a little burnt out on this particular storytelling device.
That's entirely fair. All right. Batgirl got a new costume. Looks like they're ditching the pastel purple moto jacket. I sent a link to the Nerd News chat.
So yeah, it kind of looked like it looked like it was more akin to the White Knight costume.
That actually was. That's because it was Sean Gordon Murphy drawing it.
Yeah. I saw that. And then like I saw another picture that wasn't him drawing it.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, no. So they just pretty much decided, hey, that design looked cool.
Yeah, no. She basically she went back to spandex. Lots of bats all over the place. It's supposed to be based on a costume idea she had when she was working more closely with her dad. It has a lot of elements of a police uniform to it. Mm-hmm. But it's still spandexy as opposed to, like I said, the motorcycle outfit she's had since 2015.
Mm-hmm. Midway through New 52, right?
Yeah. And I actually liked that costume a lot. I thought it was a really cool change for Batgirl, but eh.
It was alright.
I like when they do stuff to make it look like it's not just...
painted on spandex?
Yeah, but like, I'm trying to think of a... when there's a function to the outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I like when they actually give them a reason for... It's the same thing Calvin and I talked... We're talking about the Cyber 2077, like, gameplay stuff that came out. And it's like, when there is a reason in a video game that we have a heads-up display, like in Metroid Prime, it's Samus's helmet. In Deus Ex, it's, you know, the eye implants that you have that kind of tells you the world. Yeah. I love that. And this is the same kind of thing with, like, superhero costumes. I like how they're... I love when there is an actual function to this, like, ridiculous getup that they're wearing. As opposed to just, like, why does Superman wear that outfit?
To be a symbol.
Right. Like, I mean, and that's why, but it's also, like, you could be a symbol and not look like that.
That's true.
You don't need the boy shorts on the outside.
Man, I was actually really, like, I was really bummed when they went back to that.
I was too. We were not the only ones either. Like, yeah. That's one of those, like, petty internet nerd, just like, why, though? It's such a small thing in the grand scheme of, like, the world being on fire.
Because, like, with Superman, it doesn't, like, he could literally go out and, like, Action Comics and New 52 with jeans and a t-shirt and be able to do the exact same thing.
Right.
And it'd be perfectly fine.
Wouldn't stop him from
playing. Not even a little bit. Yeah. But like with people like Robin and Batgirl, like the reason the like old 1960s Robin is my favorite Robin design is because it's the most practical to me. because...
Are you talking about, like, with the Speedo and a really thin shirt?
Yeah, because if you're a martial artist, you don't want a lot of things to impede your movement. That's the reason MMA fighters wrestle in almost a similar style, just without a shirt.
Okay, so why do people that practice martial arts wear baggy clothing?
I was getting ready to say, explain the gi to me then.
Oh, I can't explain that. I can only explain the mixed martial arts thing. I don't understand the gi because I'm like, that's kind of the exact opposite, but it's the same thing. Like, the only
it still
bulky.
Allows movement.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a more range of motion, though, like with that.
Have you ever worn a gi?
Yeah, it was like, you clearly have not worn a gi because it does not constrain movement at all.
Nope.
It's just... Everything is super loose and baggy, and you can...
It's flowy.
It's like,
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're not wearing anything.
It's really comfortable. What, Dalton?
So as a crime fighter, do you just want baggy clothing for a criminal to grab?
I mean, Superman has a cape.
They all have capes.
How fast could Superman fly if he didn't have the cape?
Robin
That's
wore
wind
a cape.
Resistance. Also, Robin had a cape.
In the 60s version.
And those little elf booty shorts. That were like, or
the elf booties.
Shoes, the elf booties.
Unless you could cut somebody on the come through on the kick.
Yeah. No, it's not practical. What happens when his just like, all right, imagine actually trying to fight in that kind of a Speedo and do the stuff that he did. How often would your junk just fall out?
Just boop.
Also, a lot of, I'm thinking of like the UFC fights that I've seen, and a lot of them wear like those
trunks.
Well, not even trunks, those, like, shorts. Like,
yeah,
what Brock Lesnar wears, Kevin Owens wears. Like, a lot of them wear those, too, and that's way baggier than...
They wear, like, compression shorts underneath.
Right.
And then, yeah, they wear, like, trunks over.
Well, the compression shorts are so your bits don't...
Yeah, exactly.
Go
more,
flopping around.
More and more of them are switching over to the compression shorts. Just the compression shorts.
Okay, the compression shorts are fine. That's different than the Speedo that he wore in the 60s.
You know, I love that I have an opinion... And I
we
put
don't
it out there, and then you guys.
I just wish you would think about your opinion more before you.
Oh no!
Have
no.
It.
Like, all right, whatever. That's the next thing, dicks. I'm throwing that one out there. I don't care. That one was well deserved.
No, it's fine. It is. All right, so
it's my birthday.
No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday.
We didn't do a show on my birthday.
That's true.
We never do a show on my birthday.
We will eventually.
I think we actually this year it falls on PWU.
It's just kind of how it lines up.
We're going to skip PWU that week, I have a feeling.
Also, that Speedo looks like a diaper.
It does.
Jesus Christ. All right, anyway, what's next?
Look at it.
Look at it.
Jesus Christ, what is next?
Tell me them granny panties ain't...
I hate all of you so much. Bring up, all right, I gave myself one. I'm not going to go again. What's next?
Wolverine got a new power.
Ooh, what is it? Let's talk about it.
His claws, whenever he... I don't know exactly... Okay.
We haven't seen it in action yet.
Yeah. Charles Soule has said that they have put, quote, a lot of science behind it. So, Charles Soule...
White hot room!
I need to know what this is.
Charles Soule...
Do you really not know?
No, I kept this one quiet because I know it made you mad. So I was like, oh no, I want this to be fresh.
His claws heat up. Like, basically, Charles Soule decided if you come back from the dead, it should mean something. So Wolverine got a new power. We don't know why. We don't know how. But, yeah, his claws will heat up.
Unbreakable, sharp, undullable
adamantium
claws are now more powerful because they can get real, real hot.
Yeah.
As if they had a problem cutting through things anyway. If anything, this is... This is less useful to him because it's like a lightsaber. Like when you cut someone's hand off with a lightsaber, that just solderizes the wound.
Cauterizes.
Dear Lord, it's early.
I mean, it's literally the exact.
It cauterizes the wound. Yeah, but so now it's like, okay, now Wolverine, he cuts someone's arm off, and instead of them just like bleeding out, it's just like, well, that's a bummer, but my need to get to the hospital has like gone down.
Been mitigated significantly. Infection is still a possibility.
He's
that's
helping.
Yeah.
But why?
I don't understand.
He's like the most unkillable OP superhero.
Yeah.
Like Superman levels at this point. And like what we need to do is make him more powerful.
I need to
Because at the very
science.
Least, he can be stopped for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Until, yeah. But I don't know. I don't understand it. I love Charles Soule. And so far, like in the last few years, he has not steered me wrong. So I'm going to give it a shot, and
champion.
I'm going to see. Do what?
Didn't he write
Mark
Champions?
Nope,
Mark Wade. That was Mark Wade. Yep, I take that back.
Yep. And honestly, the only downside of that was the dialogue. The story was great. Mm-hmm. The dialogue killed it. Ugh.
It wasn't lit AF.
Ugh. But boy, was he trying for it to be. Why did he make the only black character say lit all the time? Why?
He needs a catchphrase.
Oh, my God. Mark Wade, please. So anyway.
Can we talk about the other appearance of Wolverine?
Yeah. So Thor got a new number one.
Thor number one, because they're bringing that, because with this new Avengers book that has already started or is about to start.
I think it's about to start.
They're bringing back all of the
main three.
They have to bring back the main three, okay, because stuff has gone wonky with them. I have not kept up with Odinson, like, at all.
Nope.
So I don't understand where he falls in the current Marvel timeline. I know in the way that Thor number one ends, it's like super in the future, because he's like talking about his grandchildren and he's old and he's old man Thor now, but he's flying through time, and he's like, man, sometimes I wish I just had a battle, because he's talking. It's all this existential end of the universe. The universe isn't growing; it's dying. Blah blah blah. And then he stumbles across Phoenix Force Logan.
Huh.
Yep.
Because if Wolverine wasn't strong enough to begin with.
Honestly, this one, I cannot blame on Wolverine or Marvel. This was a choice that a writer made, and it was a bad one. And they just really wanted to jump on, like, the Wolverine hype train that's going right now, and in an awful, awful way.
And I'm really disappointed in myself, because I have one of those in my box. I messaged Villainous Grounds and were like, hey, will you throw this in? But it was before I saw that page.
Mm.
But I also have Immortal Hulk in my box as well, so I'm getting those ones.
That's fair.
And I'm just like, it's gross. It's
yeah, because the
This is issue one, and the cliffhanger is...
Find out more in issue five.
Yeah.
So apparently the next three issues are going to be setting up... issue one.
It made me think that, and again, because I've only seen those last like two pages worth, so I'm wondering if it is a X amount of years in the future, and then issue two through four are present day.
Yeah, like basically setting up issue number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have to imagine that's what it
but
is.
But the stones on them.
Phoenix Force Logan with energy claws.
Energy claws!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And he's also old, too.
Yeah,
because
he doesn't age at the same... Like, him and Thor, I guess.
Well, Thor, obviously, like, he's hundreds of years old, like, in current day.
Right. So he very much ages differently. But I guess Logan and Thor age at about the same pace.
Yep.
Well.
Yeah, no, it was disgusting.
Did you bring me a beer, bub?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was something along those lines. Something he called him bub, and he asked about a beer.
Yeah.
I hope you brought beer, bub, or
that's
something
what it was.
Like
I think
that.
That's what
yeah.
it was.
Welcome to the end of the time or end of the universe. I hope you brought beer.
That's, yeah. Yeah,
something like that. It was terrible. The whole thing was terrible. And, yeah, I just, like I said, I cannot fault Wolverine for this one, because sometimes writers do really dumb things with characters.
We need to call this guy out. I'm finding it right now.
All
right,
you go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and move on. Yes, like I said, Charles Soule has promised that, it's going to make sense. They put a lot of work behind it and a lot of effort. And, again, with all the stuff that I've read from Charles Soule in the last few years, I trust him, and I think it'll be fine. But I don't understand, why it needed to happen in the first place. What's that?
I really like Jason Aaron until just now.
Oh, Jason Aaron's
the
writer for
that book.
It was Jason
Aaron. Oh, it could be cool then. Like, I give him a lot of credit in the world, but...
No, he's good, but,
That was dumb.
They're not all going to be home runs. No. And maybe this turns out to be, the quintessential Thor-Logan story. The Logan oversaturation has finally caught up with me. Because I know that's Shannon. That's a huge thing for him. Because he even admitted on... I don't know if it was our E3 show or if it was on PW, but he talked about, he's like, no, I need to be better about not about actively trying to dislike things that are popular. Because it's a thing it's a thing that he does, and he will admit that.
Yeah.
But so and I always kind of assumed that was part of why he hated Wolverine, because everybody loves Wolverine. And he likes Cyclops, because nobody likes Cyclops.
Right. And yeah, same the reason he likes Jubilee.
Eye contact.
But I hate you.
No, you don't. But so it's that, but now, and I kind of got it. I was like, yeah, I mean, he is in a lot of places, but he's still like, he's such a cool character and all of this. And now it's like, okay, he's back from the dead. He has four ongoing miniseries, as well as he's getting his own ongoing. And now we're dealing with alternate timeline, alternate dimensions, clones, and bastard offspring. Why?
Yeah, there's so much
there's
right
so
now.
There's so much Logan. There's so much Wolverine.
Yeah, I know, and I understand, like, right now. Because right now, yeah, there's absolutely too much. And it's because they're bringing him back to life. Because
mm-hmm.
obviously those miniseries are going to end
right.
with one final book that's going to set up Wolverine's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to drop out a little bit. We still don't know what they're going to do with Old Man Logan. Jimmy is still a thing in X-Men Blue.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got Dokken just, you know, strolling around doing Dokken things.
I always forget that Jimmy and Dokken are different.
It's the lamest phrase you've ever said. Doing Dokken things. I've always hated that character.
He's kind of lame. Yeah. And he's Wolverine with pheromone senses and a weird shaped claws.
Yeah.
One of them comes out of his wrist.
I think I know who you're talking about, but I'm totally blanking on his
Mohawk.
Like, yeah. I'm gonna look him up because it's that thing where it's like, I know.
Don't get me wrong. They make that Marvel legend. I'm buying it, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a cool-looking character.
Yeah.
But he's still just annoying. Jimmy, I like Jimmy a lot more. That's his son from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah. He's also in a team I like a whole
lot,
too.
Also, I used the... That is the proper way of the word that I used.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me that I said it, and it's
no,
like...
No,
no,
no.
You used it correctly. That's what it is. That's the...
What is that?
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, those claws are kind of weird. Because he's only got the two... Coming out the front.
Yeah, he basically has like Laura style claws, except he has another one that comes out of his wrist.
Like and from like Scorpion or Baraka?
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
It,
so
it comes out of like the web shooter area.
Oh yeah, Scorpion comes out of his hand.
Yeah.
Fake nerd boy.
yeah, it's weird. I don't like it.
I mean, in a movie, it might actually look kind of cool to see that fight scene with his hand, but like, yeah, no. But
also,
they're never gonna get that deep into that.
No.
And neither of them have the adamantium skeleton.
Yeah.
Both of them are bone claws, Jimmy and Dokken.
These? Oh no! Yeah, I guess those are bone. I'm just going through Google image of Dokken Marvel.
Oh, that's fair.
Some of them. Oh, that looks. That's one that looks like they're metal, but that's just because they're shiny. But yeah, seeing the all three come out with the two,
yep.
That does just look weird.
It's weird.
That just looks like it's like don't move your hand.
That was a creative decision that they made a long time ago, and now they're stuck with, and I, okay.
And again, if it would just shoot straight, because you're not looking at the picture, but it shoots up parallel with the other two claws.
Yeah.
If it jetted out the side, a la Kylo Ren's lightsaber, that might actually look kind of cool.
It would look really
like,
goofy.
Not be as long, be like a dagger length.
Yeah.
That's enough internet for today.
Oh, did you find some fan art?
I don't know if it was fan art or if it was an actual book, but Bullseye is dressed like Hawkeye. But instead of the H, he's got the bullseye. And then him and Dokken are kissing.
Oh. I don't think that ever happened. I mean, I know Dokken is bi. Like, that's a thing.
Oh, so it... Yeah, so it...
That very well could
then
be.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's like an intimidation tactic.
But also, like, that sounds like Dark Avengers. That sounds like Bullseye's Dark Avengers outfit.
That's what I saw, and...
Oh, that looks like it's from an actual book.
Yeah, that
well,
has,
okay.
That has comic book esque quality.
Yeah,
to it.
Again,
that, and
it's not like I'm weirded out about the idea of just like a guy kissing a guy. It's just not what I was expecting as I'm scrolling through pictures of Dokken.
It's drinking.
It caught me. It caught me off guard.
It's like when you're drinking water and it's actually milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, just like, well, that's not what I thought it was going
to
be.
When you're expecting, when you have an idea of what you're bracing to see.
And then
all of a sudden this shows up.
Blackfield.
Because that was absolutely Bullseye's Dark Avengers outfit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever they did that. That was an interesting team, too. The Dark Avengers, the Elena Belova, Ragnarok. You guys don't? Okay, never mind.
No. The only Dark Avengers I knew was the Thunderbolts.
Oh.
I just realized it wasn't the Dark Avengers; it was the Thunderbolts.
That's the only version
is that
team
the one
Ace
that,
likes.
Is that the one that Osborn was in charge of?
Yep.
Okay, so I remember it being a thing. I just didn't know who the
roster
was.
Yeah, Iron Patriot armor, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, back to comic book news. See, Jason, so Geoff Johns and Jason Fabik are teaming up for Batman the Three Jokers. So we'll finally get a yeah, we'll finally get some detail on what that means.
It's only taken 2 years.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, because Darkseid. It was Darkseid War.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll finally get to figure out what that is. For the uninitiated, we found out a little while back that there was more than one Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Batman found that out by sitting on what was the seat?
The Anti-Monitor's. I think it was the Anti-Monitor's chair.
I think so.
But yeah, because it was you could ask one question, and he asked Joker's true identity, and we didn't see it. All we saw was Batman's reaction of that can't be true. That's not possible.
Yeah. And then we find out later, like in another book, mm-hmm. that there were three of them.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to finally get some detail on what that is, what that means. And that's supposed to be a way to kind of explain how the Joker can keep reappearing. Mm-hmm. Like after, I mean, he's died a couple of times in recent years. And then
there was the whole Scott Snyder thing with the Endgame storyline.
Yeah.
That we don't necessarily have to spoil, but like... They kind of explained him coming back to life in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make a lot of sense. It was cool as I was reading it, but like when it's that thing where it's like, I enjoy this. And then when you go back and think about it, you're like,
but did I?
Wait a minute. No, I still enjoyed it. It's just like, there are some things that maybe I just didn't understand, and I just kind of smiled and nodded and kept turning the pages.
Yeah.
I.e. all of Metal.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the ride. I don't know what anything is, but look at the pictures.
The pictures are so pretty.
I'm three issues in and I don't know what I'm reading.
It's really out there. The pacing, like that's my only problem with Metal. The pacing is it's
off to say the best, like
yeah, no, the easiest, the most accurate thing I could say is it's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The nicest thing, too.
Yeah.
Compared to what the hell.
yeah, trying to follow that, like, I don't think you can make any kind of picture if you put those dots together. It just, mm-mm. No. But anyway, so we'll see what we get on that. DC has announced the release dates for the first new books on their new Black Label imprint. Batman Damned is coming September 19th. It will be a bi-monthly.
Trevor.
Yes, Trevor, this is the one you're wondering about. It has an official release date now. That's the Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermeo book that's going to be with Batman and Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's going to be a bi-monthly. So, Trevor, that means you're going to be buying two of them a month like you do with the regular Batman book. Superman Year One. Is going to be in November. We don't have an actual like number, but it will be in November. That's the. It's going to be a bi-monthly as well. It's going to be Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. So hard pass for me.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
I kind of want it, but no.
I mean, if you had told me about this book like
in 1989,
yeah, I was going to say like late 90s, early 2000s, and I was actually reading comic books then. Sure, not anymore. No.
Stop it.
I don't care about Superman, and Frank Miller's gone off the deep end.
Yeah, hard. 15 years ago.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's been off the deep end. Sorry.
He's been swimming and wading in that water. He's made the deep end.
He is the master.
We just call it the Frank Miller now.
You're going too far into the Frank Miller. I like it. And then we get the other History of the DC Universe is releasing in December, and it will be a monthly title. And then they're adding a whole bunch of, like, they're reprinting a whole bunch of classic books. Like, Kingdom Come is getting another reprint. White Knight's going to get printed under Black Label.
Hey, speaking of Kingdom Come, it's the required reading for Nerds for Hired.
That it is.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Do your homework.
just look at that Alex Ross artwork. It's...
No, so pretty.
So pretty.
You have to read the word. Just kind of figure it out yourself.
I'm sorry if you were building to this, but I don't remember you saying it. Did you talk about the Sean Murphy book? That's going under the Black Label.
It's White Knight, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you see the one difference?
No.
The sex scene?
No. There's going to be an
uncensored Joker Harley sex scene.
I think I remember us talking about this before.
Well, because we saw
the artwork where the word bubbles like covered the important bits.
Yeah.
But apparently the word bubbles will not be there.
Huh.
But then how are we gonna get that exposition?
Well, I mean, they'll be moved to like the they'll be moved to like the corner in the nightstand.
And if you really just want to see this now, Sean Gordon Murphy posted that image without the word bubbles, like that page without the word bubbles.
Yeah.
And it's not like an active sex scene. It's pillow talk.
Right.
With Harley and Jack.
Can't just, hear that phrase anymore. Let's
say just saying pillow talk breaks down now. But anyway, yeah. And Harley's naked. And so is Joker / Jack.
That sounds to be way different.
It's different in White Knight. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's I remember hearing about that, like, that it was just going to be in the trade whenever they released that. Like, but I guess if the trade is going to be printed under Black Label, then, yeah, makes sense. But, yeah, like I said, if you want the page now and if you've read the book, like, it's on the internet already. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to buy the book to get it. Yeah, anyway, the next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including their social media links, on ps2jshow.com. Check out all of their great content, particularly the History of Gaming episodes. They do a new one on the last Wednesday of every month. They have a pretty significant backlog of at this point, and they're all pretty solid. Sony is under backlash for their Fortnite policies. We got last week with E3, Nintendo announced that Fortnite will be on the Switch, available that afternoon. And not only that, you can do crossplay between the Switch, the Xbox One, and the PC. They can play together.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is absent from that list, and they are under backlash for it, because not only can you not play with people on other consoles, you cannot transfer any of your information from Sony to any of the other systems.
If you use your Epic account, if your Epic account is linked to your PS4, from what I read, and this could be false, so I'm hesitant to say it, but it's not just Fortnite, it's any Epic game. If you have it synced to your PlayStation account, you have to make a new account to get the Epic rewards on either Nintendo platforms or Xbox platforms.
Yeah.
Which is just so shady.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like we've talked about it before. Sony only gains PR by playing ball with this cross-platform play.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are in the lead. They've got more systems out there. Well, Switch is rapidly approaching. But, yeah, they've got more systems out there than either of their two big competitors. And they've got more content coming than anybody else. So they really only stand to gain PR by allowing people to do crossplay. But as far as they can see it, they don't allow people to do crossplay. Then people have to keep buying PlayStations to play with their friends that already have PlayStations.
And they put out some weird, like, double-speak PR statement.
Yeah,
that didn't say anything, and it was just like, nah, that ain't helping. No one's buying this.
Because they want us to think that crossplay can't happen with the PlayStation, because they have like X different stuff and, you know, different techno mumble jumble and buzzword here, buzzword there. So it's really not possible at this time. And then I don't remember what game was it that proved that that's not
true. It was Fortnite.
It was Fortnite Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
People were getting matched. Because apparently it is as effective as just flipping a switch. Xbox players were getting matched with PlayStation players. It just happened. It was an accident on Epic's part. But, yeah, it showed that it very much is possible. And there's literally nothing stopping them.
So here's Sony's statement. We're always open to hearing what the PlayStation community is interested in to enhance their gaming experience. With more than 80 million monthly active users on the PlayStation Network, we've built a huge community of gamers who can play together on Fortnite and all online titles. We also offer Fortnite crossplay support with PC, Mac, iOS, and Android devices, expanding the opportunity for Fortnite fans on PS4 to play with even more gamers on other platforms. We have nothing further to add beyond this at this point.
Ah!
So they're literally just like, okay, but everybody has PlayStation, and we do have crossplay. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, la 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 la, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
He put his fingers in his ears for that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I saw it.
That made me happy.
Yeah, no, it's beyond dumb. Like it's one of those things. Sony doesn't necessarily need the PR,
mm-mm,
but you never want bad PR, but, no matter how far in the lead you are.
It's one of those, whenever the next console cycle comes out and the Xbox blah, 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 is beating the PS5, they're going to want that good PR. Cross-platform play will happen at that point.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that was the primary reason that Xbox lost the console wars in the beginning. Like, they kept losing because Sony kept putting out better first-party IPs. But Microsoft lost because of that bad PR at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was, had they not done that, like,
it would have been a lot more even.
Yeah, it would have been a lot more. They would have been a lot closer, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Microsoft made a whole bunch of mistakes, including racking up a boatload of bad PR at the beginning of this current console cycle. And yeah, it hurt them. And Sony needs to learn from that mistake, or they're going to be hurting in the next console cycle. That's just how it's going to be, especially if Microsoft can start catching up with these first-party titles.
Oh, yeah, because like we talked about it on our big E3 recap that we did on Tuesday, which mm-hmm. you can go to podzilla1985.com and listen to. But like Xbox announced that they now have – they just acquired 5 new indie studios.
Oh, yeah, 5 new studios for first-party IPs.
For first-party – like they acquired these studios to create games exclusively for Xbox,
yep. mm-hmm.
which is something that they needed. But that's also a thing where it's like – there's a real solid chance we won't see any of those titles until the next generation.
Right.
And so if they can come out swinging with some, you know, really, really good first party things, because that right now is my only complaint with Xbox.
Yeah.
Is because like Game Pass is super, like the more I look around on Game Pass, because they're running that, you know, get a month for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Like they got some really cool stuff on there. I'm loving The Division. Like weirdly, stupidly kind of like it reminds me of Destiny. Of just like how addicted I was with that, and I'm only playing solo. If there was other people, yeesh, I would be nervous.
Maybe make that happen this afternoon.
But Game Pass is really good. Like the Xbox One X is the most powerful console on the market
by a large margin.
Their online infrastructure, I feel like, is a lot more reliable mm-hmm. than Sony's pretty consistently. Just like
Games with Gold is a better service than the Instant Game Collection.
Right. So it's yeah. there's. They're killing it in a bunch of different aspects, but like you said, they crippled themselves. Like, they really shot themselves in the foot at the beginning where they're like, okay, online only, new way of watching television, it's an all-in-one thing. And
super
instead of just
DRM.
Like, all of the mistakes that Sony made with the PS3, they made and then some.
Yeah.
And then Sony's like, oh yeah, we're not going to do that. PS4, 4 gamers, super cheap.
It's $100 cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, bundling it with the Kinect was easily their biggest mistake.
Yeah.
Because that lost them, like, they lost a lot of the hardcore player base with the announcements, like, with what they did during E3, and then they lost all the moms buying presents for their kids with it being $100 more expensive at Christmas time.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it was bad. Like, yeah, Microsoft, like, they've managed to recover now.
Which is great to see, because it was that thing for a while. I, like, actually, you know, was that, screw Microsoft.
Yeah,
like you harbored that resentment, but now it's like I love my Xbox. I've been playing my Xbox more than once I finished God of War. I will qualify it with that. Once I finished God of War, I've been
like because PlayStation has the habit of like they'll release an amazing first party IP, and I'll go back to my PlayStation for a while.
And they got so many coming.
They do. Like and they've had so many in the past.
Once Spider-Man hits,
oh my god,
that's another one. It's like depending on what that trophy list is, like I could see myself wanting to platinum that.
It looks just amazing. So yeah, like it's one of those things. Like Xbox needs to catch up with these first party IPs mm-hmm. because they just don't have like their big what used to be system sellers. People don't care about anymore. Like Halo, Gears of War. People still care about them. The bulk of their market doesn't care about them anymore because mm-hmm. the market is just so saturated with those kind of shooters.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just. And outside of that, like, those are their big two, Halo and Gears. Like, they've got other ones, but nothing as big as Uncharted or Last of Us or
God of War
mm-hmm. or, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, how big that got. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the Sony just kills it over and over again with these first-party IPs. They have some flops, sure, like Last Guardian, but, I mean, they've got so many other
Knack
great
2,
ones.
Knack 2, baby!
Jesus Christ.
Man, who invited Donkey? All right. But anyway, yeah, that's so right now Sony definitely needs to make sure that they do not make the same mistakes that Microsoft made towards the end of the last console cycle and at the beginning of, you know, the new one. Because PR can break you.
Yep.
Like you do not want to anger your market.
Especially when it comes to arguably the biggest video game in the world right now.
Yeah. Like, because so everybody's many playing Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's huge because it's free.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you don't
and need all of those not free things that you're using, you can't take from your PlayStation to your Switch or Xbox. Or
exactly. So people are, yeah, you are basically de-incentivizing people from playing this game on your console.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Like, if you play it on your Xbox, you can play it on your Switch, you can play it on your PC with all your same stuff. It's a bad decision, Sony.
Yep.
Get your stuff together. Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be a first-person shooter RPG. That came out because they wouldn't allow video of any kind, mm-hmm. but they allowed people to play Cyberpunk 2077 at E3 on the conference floor.
Yeah, apparently it was like invite only, and yeah, there was no footage allowed, no capture. Yep. But
they got to do in-depth write-ups and stuff like that on it.
Everything that I've seen, because like the Kind of Funny guys got to play it, like IGN wrote a couple articles about it where it's just like, I was initially kind of bummed to hear that this was another first-person game because, like, so much of what I'm playing is first-person shooters. But the way that they described it and how the HUD made sense because you have all, you know, it's, you know, the cyberpunk setting, so you have these upgrades you can do with, like, your hand and your eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for this game now.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like I was
already really excited about it.
Well, like, I was never super into the Witcher series
mm-hmm.
just because it was just for whatever reason, like for Witcher 3, it was the upgrade system. I just wasn't super on board with that.
Right.
So I was like, I mean, this is like, I'm sure it'll be cool, but between the trailer and now everything that they've talked about, looks so cool.
It looks really, really good. I really, really want to play this game. I'm so pumped for it. So, yeah, and for me being pumped for a single-player game, guys, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for old Jesse.
Mm-hmm. And you got Spider-Man coming, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have to talk to us for a while.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, like, my PlayStation will get a workout with Spider-Man. I haven't turned on my PlayStation in a couple of months now. Because
I still can't find a pre-order for that Kingdom Hearts system. I've been asking retailers.
They still haven't announced it for U.S.
Mm-mm. They haven't.
I mean, it's almost certainly coming to North America, but they have not made that official announcement.
I'm going to be really upset whenever I can only get it on Square Store.
Oh, God. All right. So the last thing that we're going to talk about here, and it's something that I am not happy about. Black Ops 4.
Oh.
So we had previously thought, like, Call of Duty had implied, and there were a couple of things out there in the ether that made it seem like they were done with Season Pass and, like, quarterly DLC,
mm-hmm.
the map packs, because for good reasons, we heard splits the player base, and it does. It absolutely does. You get a bunch of people that have the first DLC pack and a bunch of people that don't. Split mm-hmm. it down the middle, and the more DLC packs that come out, the more split it becomes.
Because then you start getting the people who have no DLC. Then you have the people who only have the first session of DLC, and then people who have both.
And then people have the season pass, and
right.
they're getting everything. And then, yeah, so what it becomes, like, by the time you get to the fourth pack, and yeah, like Asa brought this up, there's a Reddit post about it that made a whole lot of sense. By the time you get the fourth pack, people that are people cannot play what's in the fourth DLC pack because there aren't enough people playing with the fourth DLC pack. So it's just like people that paid for it don't get to play it, and people that didn't pay for it obviously don't get to play it.
Because someone wrote this Reddit post, someone actually, like, emailed Activision's support and, like, hey, I've played for like 2 straight weeks now, it's been out, and I haven't played a single map in the Resistance one.
Mm.
And like, well, we don't have specific numbers to give, but with the population of gamers that are playing that actually have that pass, it's statistically unlikely for there to be enough players playing at the same time that all have that same.
Because I don't know if you guys have jumped on Black Ops 3 since it's become free.
No.
I mean, I downloaded, like, the day I was able to, I downloaded it because I forgot, like, I remember how much fun I had playing that one just by myself. And I've only had the first DLC map pack, and I did not play a single match on that map pack set. Everything was base game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's just how it goes. So, because basically you end up with a lot of the season pass players stop playing entirely because why? Like all that stuff that they paid for, they don't get to play with. So now you have just a bunch of people that are picking up the game used years after the fact,
which is totally fair. Like, I'm not saying those people are, like, I mean, if you pay for something you can't even use it, that's
No, that's grounds for getting angry. Plus, yeah. like, I mean, Black Ops 3, you're likely playing with a bunch of other people that just downloaded it because it was free. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of those people...
That's why I'm doing well. I actually remember how the mechanics worked in that game.
Because a lot of people that, you know, at this point, it's a coming up on a three-year-old game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's not... Other people have moved to other Call of Duty games. So, anyway, all of that was good news. It sounded like we were just going to get the DLC and they were going to monetize the game via the loot boxes. And we trust Call of Duty, or we trust Black Ops, Treyarch, with their loot box system, because they did have like the bonus weapons that you could get in the loot boxes in Black Ops 3, but they were mostly just goofy, fun weapons. Most of them were melee weapons, and mm-hmm. the melee weapons didn't change no matter which one you had. It
yeah,
just
the
had
range
difference.
Was the same.
Range was the same. The sound effect was what changed. And, like, you know, obviously the visual aesthetic changed. It's different, you know, hitting somebody with a baseball bat versus a wrench. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And they added a couple of guns to it, but nothing worth having. It was just kind of cool if you got it, but whatever. And they didn't do the whole thing that, like, Infinite Warfare did, where you got objectively better weapons and you had to keep getting stuff to craft those weapons if you weren't lucky enough to get them out of drops. And oh my god, it was such a stupid idea. So anyway, they were going to monetize it that way, and they would put in cooler cosmetics would be the idea, because there were a lot of cosmetic stuff that sold boxes in Black Ops 3, because everybody loved that. Like, Black Ops 3 was the first one, I think, that had the top three highlight feature. Mm-hmm. Where you could just do, like, you could start doing dances and stuff like that if
like
you were one
emotes
of the top three.
If you were in the top three, and yeah.
Which was super neat. It was really fun to mess
because it
with.
Also had, like, the class system, mm-hmm. and each class had its own
set of the emotes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that was cool, and I love, you know, loot boxes that have cosmetic items in them. Like, I've talked about that before, that's the best way to do it. You make the cosmetic items desirable, and people will pay for the boxes to get them. But they threw us a curveball. So instead of, because they realized that splitting the player base happens with you have the season pass versus not the season pass, and the people just buying the individual packs. And I know that some people just buy the individual packs because that's what I told all of my friends to do with Black Ops 3. Because yep. there were several of them thinking about getting the season pass. Like, no, we won't play it all year.
I'm sitting right here. Because that first season pass came out, or it was about to come out, and I told Jesse, I was like, man, we're playing a lot of this game. Like, I'm thinking I might just buy the season pass instead. And he was just like, don't. Just buy this first one. And then if we are continuously playing, then go ahead and, like, look at the season pass. And he was right. Because, yeah, like,
we did not make it to the second
pack. We did not
pack.
Get to the second pack before, because I think Overwatch came out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of those things. So instead of that, because they know that splits the player base, they're basically giving you the Black Ops Pass. You don't buy individual packs anymore. You buy the Black Ops Pass, which as of right now we don't have pricing for, because as of right now it's not sold separately. You have to buy one of the $100 editions, $100 plus editions. Because it's Call of Duty, there's always three editions. You get, like, the regular game is going to be $60. You'll get the one that comes with this Black Ops Pass and some extra goodies for $100. And then you'll get, like, some extra goodies and collectibles at 100, and I think it's 130 is the other one.
And you're also forgetting the extra thing that doesn't have the game.
That's probably
going to have, like, mm-hmm. a flag.
Well, I mean, they always do something electronic with those.
Oh, that's true.
There'd be like an RC.
Yeah, an RC car.
Or
like
drone or something.
Yeah, one time they did the night vision goggles. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we got the Black Ops 4 pass, and they're going to release it this way so that they can keep the content more fresh to keep people playing it. Instead of doing the quarterly drops of map packs, they're going to be releasing one every couple months. And just giving you another map to play with, some more zombies to play with. I do not like this method. I would much rather do exactly what I've done the last few Call of Duty games. If I'm still playing by the time the first DLC drops, I pay $15 for that first DLC. I continue to have fun with the game until I stop playing the game. That's a much better system to me. The Black Ops Pass is stupid, especially if you can't buy it separately.
What's an even better system? Well, they did announce that you will be able to buy it separately.
Okay.
Like, they did say that was coming, they just haven't released the price point. And they didn't say when you would be able to do that. Mm-hmm. What's an even better system is what we're seeing, like, the Division 2 is doing. And Battlefield 5 is... I'm sorry, excuse me. Battlefield V is doing. Where all of that post game, all of that post game content is just free because they don't want to split their player base.
Right.
And the thing that really aggravates me on this one is not only did they completely remove the single player story, there's less maps to start. So if you want the full actual game, you are going to have to buy this battle pass. And it's just like, and bless the good folks on the Black Ops 4 subreddit, because they are pushing for to get some backlash. And like, Destructoid, Kotaku, PC Gamer, like a bunch of different outlets have picked this up about it. But they are thinking it's going to get like a Star Wars Battlefront 2 treatment. And it's just like, that's just not going to happen. Pre-orders are already up for that the $100 edition one. Like,
yeah,
we might see things change next year, but we're not going to get I don't think they're going to change their model. They should. Like, that would be the right thing to do, the correct thing to do. Again, the player-friendly thing to do, but...
But
they're not always
them.
About I just, player... But Activision's very rarely about player-friendly.
No, yeah. And it's that thing where... also, apparently, on their official Twitch channel, they have banned... They have auto-filtered to where you can't do their hashtag of, like, say no to Black Ops Pass.
Mm.
So now that anytime you do that, that just gets removed. If you try to get around it, people have gotten, like, bans for a couple hours, so they can't even, like, post anything. Yeah, it's just... it's. And you have to keep in mind, too, like, the reason that Battlefront 2 got such backlash was because, one, it was a ridiculous time sink.
Yeah.
Like, a stupid time sink. But also, Star Wars is a beloved franchise. Like, you're not going to walk up to if I walked up to someone and said, which do you know more about, Star Wars or Call of Duty? 10 out of 10 people know more about Star Wars. Or have heard of or have heard of Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And... Yeah, a lot of those people, pretty much everybody has heard of Call of Duty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they know about Call of Duty. Not a lot of people care about Call of Duty.
Right.
They play, obviously, like, it's fun to play. Like, mm-hmm. I like playing Call of Duty. But, yeah, I don't care about Call of Duty near as much as I do Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't tell you anything from the lore, story, or history of Call of Duty past.
There's a guy named Soap.
There was, Soap McTavish. Yeah.
He'll be in the Battle Royale mode, apparently.
Willy, really?
I thought that's what they... Okay, I say this, but, like, I also thought they said that there would be no season pass. Which, technically, there isn't a season pass.
Nope, it's just...
There's the Black Ops pass. But I think they said that, like, characters from the past and present of Call of Duty are all going to be, like, skins in the Battle Royale mode.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, though, this really bums me out. Like, I'm probably still going to get the game, but I'm not going to buy the Black Ops pass.
Yeah.
Because that's just stupid. I won't be playing the game that long. I have a bunch of fun coming here to the store and playing with my friends.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good time. And, yeah, it's just mindless first-person shooter fun.
But that's the most we play of it. And even still, like, you have to keep in mind, like, look at all of these other games that are coming out that are going to be, like, we're going to lose Shannon and Dalton to Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're probably going to, like, Dalton's going to lose Shannon to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
And y'all aren't going to see me whenever Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out.
And then, like, on top of, like, Spider-Man, Cyberpunk, like, there's so many awesome things. When and let's not forget Smash.
Oh, yeah, Smash.
Yeah.
Which, that'll be easier because we can... never mind. I was going to say that we can just knock out, like, a couple games real quick and then move on to something different.
That's not how we all do Smash Brothers.
But everyone at this table knows that whenever Smash starts, that is an all-day affair.
Yeah.
Because I will beat you. I've gotten so close.
I've only beat him in teams. And it's always been because Steven screwed up. Like, Steven hit Jesse, and then, like, Calvin and I took advantage.
Yeah, I love Steven. He is not a team player. But, yeah, no, like, that. Whenever Smash comes out, that's probably going to absorb a lot of our time, because we're probably going to start back up the competitive stuff again. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to be bottom on the team again.
Yay!
I got halfway decent with a couple people.
That's true.
I had to find, like, the second top guy and be like, all right, we got to pick on Steven.
It wasn't a total blowout. It's the thing. You and Shannon both have these things that get in my head, and I'm tilted, and I can't, like...
Goro low kick.
Goro low kick, like the Tranquilo King DDD. Just
that gets in everybody's head.
Oh,
like, yeah,
it never bugged me that much. It made me laugh more than anything. Like, it was never like, damn you, Jesse. It was just like, I can't stop giggling, still, so you're beating me.
I was gonna say, but it's breaking your focus. That's tilting. Tilting doesn't have to be salty, because it never made me salty. It was just distracting, because he used to, like, for a while there, you were doing a sound effect with it too. I don't remember what it was.
I didn't start playing Smash until after Almas started wrestling at NXT. Mm-hmm. And he started doing it. That's all I could think about was just seeing Almas. Just like,
oh, I did the swiggity swooty with it. Was that it?
That's because he did the roll. He did the roll. That's what.
Because,
yeah,
it was basically just it's his it's his down A, down tilt. It just rolls forward.
Let's play Smash today.
I'm fine with that.
Like, let's break some out. Some of the Wii U.
All right.
I have to go home and do laundry though, but.
But for wrestling tonight.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I was planning on pretty much my day is I'm going to go home, do laundry, probably take a nap, and I'll be here by like 3.
Works for me. All right. That's going to do it for us, though, guys. And we will see you next time.